This is Jay Sekulow. Kathleen Sebelius resigns from HHS. We've got an update on the Lois Lerner contempt proceedings and a victory for a Bible club.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
That Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius is resigning. Sebelius has obviously been under a lot of pressure for months because of the horrible rollout of the president's health care overhaul.
In early March, Kathleen Sebelius, my Secretary of Health and Human Services, told me she'd be moving on once the first open enrollment period under the Affordable Care Act came to an end. And after 5 years of extraordinary service to our country and 7.5 million Americans who've signed up for health coverage through the exchanges, she's earned that right.
But throughout the legislative battles, the Supreme Court challenge, a contentious re-election, and years of votes to turn back the clock, we are making progress. She's got a
ticket to ride, but she don't care. This is probably good for the president. He probably wants to turn a page. She has symbolized, she has personified the catastrophic disaster that Obamacare has been, both substantively and procedurally in its rollout. I think he would rather someone else was at the helm of HHS. In terms of her performance, I think she was given an impossible task with no precedent. She's a novice at this and probably did the best she could with the awful tools that the administration gave her.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
What an appropriate song for an appropriate day, an appropriate way to end the week. And that is Kathleen Sebelius, the director of HHS, has in fact resigned her position as director, secretary of HHS. The newspaper reports have been interesting because a lot of people are saying this was precipitated by the fact that the president raised eyebrows nationwide on April 1st when he failed to acknowledge Sebelius's, quote, contribution to the program's recent momentum during a high-profile Rose Garden victory speech. You remember that one earlier in the week. Than, what's the word on Capitol Hill on this resignation? Not surprising, but the Republicans are trying to seize the moment as well.
Yeah, I think they will try to seize the moment, but I think the reality is this is the president trying to get her out of the way before the election cycle rolls around. I mean, there's no two ways to cut this, Jay. Her legacy as secretary is a very poor one. I mean, you talked about the rollout of the website, but let's not forget, she cemented her legacy as the most pro-abortion secretary in history with the HHS mandate, the abortion surcharge, and it's probably fitting. I mean, she worked for the most pro-abortion president in history as well, and I think this is his way of saying, thank you very much. Time to move along. Maybe we can save a few seats in Congress if you're out of the way.
David French, senior counsel for the ACLJ, you tend to agree with Than on this one, a political move. I think it was a political move. I think it's also interesting that she was not mentioned in that April 1st speech. The message
right.
may have been given to her, it's time to go.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think the Obama administration is trying to take a victory lap, but still remembers that a lot of the reason for the angst and anguish it has gone through was her mismanagement.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely correct. Hey, folks, we're going to talk about the HHS mandate, what the Kathleen Sebelius leaving means. How do you feel about that? We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Again, 800-684-3110. We've got a victory report we're going to be bringing up about a nice win for Bible Club students in a school. That's a great little win. Good way to end the week. We're going to talk about that one. We're going to talk about an academic case that David French tried last week. We had a win there as well. So that one has also gone on very well. We're also going to give you an update on Pastor Saeed's case. Later in the broadcast, we're going to talk about the internet transfer. Obviously, it's Friday. We're taking your calls on topics that are of concern to you. What are the issues that you're concerned about right now? What about this internet control issue? ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on the petition. You know what it's going to be? Kathleen Sebelius is leaving. Delay, defund, and defeat Obamacare. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. You can also, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. But again, sign on that petition to delay, defund, and defeat Obamacare. Another chance now that she's gone. ACLJ.org.
HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, the person who heads up Obamacare, is gone, stepping down after a disastrous rollout of Obamacare, which has become a national nightmare. First, it was the broken website, then bogus enrollment numbers, more people losing health insurance than getting it, and the cost of health care continues to skyrocket. With HHS Secretary Sebelius out, this is the perfect time to intensify efforts to bring an end to Obamacare. The problems with Obamacare won't be solved with a new HHS secretary. The fact is, Obamacare is still the wrong prescription for America. Stand with the ACLJ now and sign on to our petition to delay, defund, and defeat Obamacare. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
A fitting song, Band on the Run, and in a sense, that's pretty true. You've got Sebelius leaving, no great shock there. Hey, folks, we're also in beginning our matching challenge for April. I want to encourage you to go to aclj.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255 and make your pledge. Any amount you donate, we will match. We've got a ways to go. We'll talk more about that in the next week or so, but I do want to mention that is out. You'll start getting emails about it pretty soon. aclj.org, 1-877-989-2255. Also, important to note here that we've got a situation with Kathleen Sebelius resigning that there's a talk fan right now in Washington that this may be a time to re-move on the Obamacare situation, because it wasn't just the rollout. We're now seeing the, you know, people cannot get, if you don't have insurance under the plan right now, you can't register for until January 1st. So is there a real move here?
Yeah, I think there is. I mean, I think it all goes back to what the administration is claiming, all these, you know, these 7 million signups. And, of course, that's obviously a fake number. You don't know how many have just registered. You don't know how many have actually paid or how many lost their plan, first of all. So I think as the elections come down the line, I think you will see Republicans, Jay, start to talk about any number of these alternatives that they have out there. This is going to be a major political issue, but it's only going to be a political issue if Republicans make it a policy issue as well. And I think the Secretary departure is going to be the platform to allow them to do that.
All right, folks, so we want to hear from you. We've got a petition that's been up, and it's been up for we've had this up. It's about 116,000 signatures right now, which is, that's a sizable number, almost 117,000. We want you to join with us today on that at aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. Sign on that petition today, delay, defund, and defeat Obamacare. We're also taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110 is the number there. That's 800-684-3110. We're taking on a variety of topics. We're also going to talk about some wins. We've got a win for a high school student. Then we're going to talk about a win for a college professor. But let's start with a high school student, Cece Hiles, a senior counsel for the ACLJ. She's out of our office in Virginia Beach on the campus of Regent University. And Cece, you've had a nice quick win here. I always like them when they're quick. Tell us what happened in this case.
It was quick. We were contacted by a student in New York who actually was allowed to start up an after-school student-led Bible study club. And the principal had allowed that. But unfortunately, on the day that the club was to begin, the school superintendent informed the student that the club would need an insurance policy to use the school facilities after hours. So with that blow, they, of course, contacted the ACLJ.
Let me ask a question here. So they say you can meet, which, of course, is what the Equal Access Act and the Mergens decision that we argued a long time ago at the Supreme Court said is the law. So that's not it. They weren't giving the students anything. Then they put
up
you have to have insurance. So did the chess club have to have insurance?
No, absolutely not. That requirement was not required for any of the other after-school activities that were going on or clubs that were going on. It was just for this Bible club.
So the Bible club is told, you can meet, go ahead, and, oh, by the way, where's your insurance binder to insure the school system? And no other club had to do that. Then what happens?
That's correct. Well, then we stepped in and we provided the information for the student and her parents on the constitutional rights that, of course, the club has and the student has, that not only do they have to provide the equal access, they have to give the equal privileges too. It has to be on the same basis across the board. So once that and we suggested too that, that the superintendent talked to their district attorney as well, provided that information. And of course, when the school took a look at the information that we provided, they immediately rescinded that position that the club needed the insurance
policy. So is the club, as of today, is the club meeting on that campus?
The club is meeting on that campus.
Free of an insurance binder. So that was a good win.
That is correct.
But, the point of this is, folks, that here you've got the law's been settled since 1992. So you're 22 years out, and you still have – we don't often talk about these, but CC's office handles a lot of these for students. And the good news is that good news goes out on that campus and that Bible club's meeting. Have you heard from the students on how the club's doing?
I believe they already have quite a few children or kids that are already meeting there. So it's pretty successful right off the bat.
Yeah, where was this? In Amsterdam, New York. So that was, it'd be interesting to find out why this school district, you'd only find this out in litigation. Why was it that they throw on at the last minute this insurance claim? Did they give any reason why?
No, but it was interesting to know that it was the principal, of course, that approved the Bible club, but then it was the superintendent who stepped in and said the insurance. So you never know what's going on there, but the principal of the school had already approved it, and the superintendent was the one that then tried to shut it down.
All right, folks. Well, listen, it's a great win. If you go to aclj.org, it's going to be posted on our homepage there, and CeCe's report will be up under our docket blog, so you want to go there. CeCe, thanks for the report. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, so talking about school wins, David, one we've not really talked about because you were just finishing up the trial, and then you got the jury's decision, then you had to wait for the judge's decision. This is a case you've been fighting for a long time. It now went to federal court. We tried it with our friends at the Alliance Defense Fund. Actually, when you were with ADF before you came here, the case has been around, what, for 5 or 7 years?
7 years.
7 years. Folks, sometimes federal litigation takes 7 years. So we had a team effort here between ACLJ lawyers and, of course, lawyers from our friends at Lions Defending Freedom. What happened in the case?
Well, we got a jury verdict where the jury found that the University of North Carolina at Wilmington had retaliated against our client, a professor, a conservative Christian, when it denied him a promotion. He was an atheist and a liberal when he joined the faculty, and his career went great. He became a conservative and a Christian in the year 2000, and after that, he began to suffer an incredible string of reprisals and retaliation. The jury heard that story, found for him, and we believe, Jay, this might be the first jury verdict of its kind in the country, finding a retaliation against a conservative Christian professor.
And then you got a jury. The jury gave you the verdict of finding that there was this retaliation, and then the judge gave an order which granted back pay and restoring him to full professor, which is what he was entitled to if they didn't engage in the discrimination. This is a precedent-setting case, folks, because we can't find another one where this has happened, and it's a jury verdict. And a couple years ago, Frank Mannion had a case involving nurses that refused to engage in abortion procedures. And it was the same thing. It was the first case of a jury verdict with punitive damages against a healthcare provider that was doing this. So this is good news.
Oh, absolutely. It sends a strong message because if there's one thing that we know, it's that when you send your kids to colleges and universities these days, you're sending them into an environment that's increasingly hostile to faith, hostile to conservative points of view. And one of the reasons why is they discriminate against conservative professors. And so by having him the judge ordered his promotion, ordered a pay raise, ordered that he get all the back pay that he was entitled to. I mean, the judge really made him whole here. Yeah. The judge really put him in the right position.
You know, it's a great way to end a week with some big victories here. By the way, another big victory looks like the tax-exempt rules, Than, that these proposed changes, which would have justified the IRS's bad behavior, looks like the IRS is now saying, we got a lot of comments on that. We're not moving so quickly. And it looks like the American people were heard, and probably those changes aren't going into effect.
Yeah, this is a huge victory, Jay. I mean, this would have been codification of the targeting that we saw at the IRS. They have now pulled those. They pulled them after more than 200,000 comments, more comments than any regulation in history. And, Jay, I just think it goes to reinforce what you say all the time, that a lot of times there's a tendency to grow tired in all of these efforts that we're engaged in, not all of them that we talk about. But when the American people speak out and when they work with us here at the ACLJ, real results happen. This is a huge victory. It's not the last victory, but it's definitely a step in the right direction.
Yeah, it is a huge victory because we stopped a regulation from a rule change, basically, and we did the same thing with the FCC when it came to the FCC monitor situation. We were able to get that one rolled back as well, so some great news there. Folks, you're on the line. Hang there. We're going to get to your phone calls as soon as we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to me. In fact, I'm going to grab one quickly here. Let's go to Robert in Florida on line 2. Hi, Robert.
Jay, it's a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you.
God bless you, and I'm so grateful for the work you guys are doing. And you're right, we must be relentless as Americans and as believers. You know, we constantly find ourselves trying to defend our rights, our God-given rights, and our constitutional rights as Americans. And we must stick together and be relentless in resisting the constant...
Yeah, and the good news is here, Robert, we're giving you a victory report on this Friday because that's exactly what's happened, whether it's the IRS moving back its rules and regulations, whether it's the FCC dropping their monitors in newsroom, whether it's a win for a group of Christian students in a high school in New York or a Christian conservative college professor within the University of North Carolina system. The ACLJ is there. Defending freedom and fighting back on all of these issues. And that's also, of course, goes to the IRS case and now the HHS thing with this Kathleen Sebelius resignation. More of your phone calls when we come back at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me encourage you to do two things, folks. Go to ACLJ.org. We want to send a message to Congress now that Kathleen Sebelius has gone, get rid of a law that does not work. And that is the Obamacare. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Also, I want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ the month of April. It's really important. We're in our March and April are our matching challenge months. Go to ACLJ.org. Make that online gift. It makes a huge difference for us. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. You can call in your gift as well. So either go to ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with your phone calls in a moment. She's got a ticket to ride,
and she don't care. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, the person who heads up Obamacare, is gone, stepping down after a disastrous rollout of Obamacare, which has become a national nightmare. First, it was the broken website, then bogus enrollment numbers, more people losing health insurance than getting it, and the cost of health care continues to skyrocket. With HHS Secretary Sebelius out, this is the perfect time to intensify efforts to bring an end to Obamacare. The problems with Obamacare won't be solved with a new HHS secretary. The fact is, Obamacare is still the wrong prescription for America. Stand with the ACLJ now and sign on to our petition to delay, defund, and defeat Obamacare. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
All right, if you're just joining us, we give you a list of victories, including, I consider this one a victory, Kathleen Sebelius leaving, so they've got a new HHS secretary designatee, and she's going to have her hands full, too, because now it's not going to be the rollout, it's going to be, gee, does this law work or not? And that's going to be a whole different question. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, that's 1-800-684-3110. Let's see, who do we have next?
Let's go to Alan, calling on line one from Texas. Alan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Alan.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hey, my question is, out of these 7.5 million people that have enrolled in ACA healthcare, do they have any statistics or data showing how many people actually have healthcare insurance?
Well, that's a great question. And, David, do we know how many people, of that 7.5 million that they're claiming, do we know, A, how many policies have been issued, and, B, how many of those people had lost insurance, and is there really a net gain here?
Number one, we don't know how many of those policies have actually been paid for yet. That number has not been released. Number two, the best estimate is of that 7.1 million or however many, a little over 7 million, vast majority already had insurance before Obamacare. In other words, they had to get this new Obamacare insurance because their old insurance wasn't viable anymore under Obamacare rules. And I've seen studies, Stan, and I don't know if you've seen something different, but as low as 1 million out of the 7 million are actually new enrollees in these Obamacare exchanges. It's a very small percentage are actually new enrollees. The vast majority are people who lost their insurance because of Obamacare and had to get new insurance.
Yeah, this is a number that they made up out of thin air, David. I mean, along with the factors that you just said, they also have openly admitted that they are counting anyone who has selected a plan on the site. So that's just registering. That's not actually having a plan. And I would just add one more layer to that. I mean, the insurance companies certainly have the information on who has paid. So why don't we have that information? Why have we not been told who has paid? And there is only one reason that would be the case. It's because not that many have.
Yeah. We're going back to our phones, 1-800-684-3110. Barbara's calling from California on line 3. Hi, Barbara. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jay. I just want to say thank you and God bless you for being so diligent in what you do for the Lord.
Thanks.
You asked about our thoughts about Kathleen Sebelius.
Yep.
Well, praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I really believe in my heart that God is throwing out his word in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that to partner with him, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them, I will forgive them, and I will heal their land. And I believe that the Lord is standing up to cast out the wicked rulers.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was giving some speeches in the last couple of weeks, and I'm trying to offer people hope. I don't want to, you know, because the news can be pretty depressing at times, and I just think we have to offer hope. And that's why, David, we started the broadcast out with announcing some significant wins, whether it's a high school, whether it's a college, whether it's in Congress, whether it's with the IRS, significant wins to offer people hope.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, we're winning cases. One of the things that was great about CC's report, that was a fast win.
Yeah, really quick.
That was something we were able to accomplish just in a matter of days. And on the Mike Adams case, it's a matter of perseverance. I mean, we were trying to be groundbreaking in this case. And it took a while. And one of the reasons it took a while is we had to go all the way up to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals to get a summary judgment ruling reversed. And we actually ended up setting a precedent that's being used to support free speech around the country in that case. So, you know, sometimes you can do it quickly. Sometimes you got to persevere. But either way, we have a lot of hope.
You know, and then we're talking about, and then you got the Kathleen Sebelius situation. Let's talk about that one because, you know, you made this point, and Will's been pointing this out in the news. You know, what is her legacy here? Is her legacy that she goes down as the most pro-abortion, you said it, pro-abortion HHS secretary in our lifetime?
Yeah, I think that's something they wouldn't even dispute, Jay. I mean, I saw a tweet this morning from Planned Parenthood CEO Cecile Richards that said, Kathleen Sebelius did more for women's health, which is, of course, what they call abortion services, did more for women's health than anyone in history. She is our champion. So I think even the left would describe the legacy that she is going to have. She is the most pro-abortion secretary in United States history, and she oversaw, Jay, what is going to be the largest entitlement program in United States history. So I think 10 years from now, you're going to look back and Kathleen Sebelius is not going to be a name that the left is really going to be all that proud of.
Yeah, the good news is she's done. She's finished. She's resigned, and it's because the president left her out of that speech, and I think that said volumes. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. We're going right back to our phones. We've got a lot of calls that have been coming in. Vanessa's calling from New Mexico on line 4. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, thank you. My husband and I are part of the $40 million that were uninsured, and I don't understand how President Obama can feel successful about a measly $7 million, if that's even true, if people really needed and wanted that.
Yeah, you know, I said the same thing. David and I were talking about this. I mean, we reestablished, when I say we, the president, recut the entire health care system, redrafted it, redirected it for 7 million people. David, I mean, when you think about that, 40 million uninsured, they haven't gone anywhere near their goal. And the fact of the matter is, 7 million people, and we've redone the entire healthcare system in the United States.
Well, it's really less than that because the vast majority of that 7 million were already insured.
Sure.
So I've just pulled up, there's a Rand Corporation study that said the Congressional Budget Office said that 80 to 90% of the enrollees were projected to be previously uninsured.
Yeah.
The real number is going to be between 24 and 36%. A failure.
It is a failure. Willie's calling from Virginia. I think he disagrees on line 5. Hi, Willie. Welcome to the broadcast. It's a free country. You get to disagree. Yes, sir.
My question is, I want to know, why is everybody so dying to kill Obamacare, but nobody got nothing to replace it or say they got something better?
Well, I mean, there have been other plans that were offered to replace a different approach than the Affordable Care Act. Ben Carson has had one that I think is got a lot of merit to it. I frankly think it would have been easier to just expand. I mean, this would have not solved all the problems, but it would have been easier to just have expand Medicare and Medicaid capability than developing a whole new health care system. But the reality is there were other plans offered, but the president, this was his signature moment.
Yeah, this is really just a lie that keeps being repeated, that there were no other options on the table. I mean, you mentioned Ben Carson's plan. There was one that was put forward by the Republican Study Committee. There was one that was put forward by Dr. Price, one by Dr. Gingrey. There are a lot of them out there. But at the end of the day, the president governed on this like he has done on so many other things. He just picked what he wanted. He shut everybody else out, and he rammed it through. So the idea there weren't other ideas on the table then or now, it's just not true, Jay.
All right, folks, stay on the line. We're going to get to your calls when we come back from the break. I'm going to go quickly to Pastor Cheney on line 2. Pastor, you're on the air very quickly, please.
Hello. I just want to call you and encourage you to be I'm so glad to be a part of what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Getting other people to be involved. And I will keep you in prayer as you go into these meetings that God will prevail.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much for calling, and it means a lot. Hey, folks, stay on the line. We're on SiriusXM for another half hour. If you're not getting the full hour of the broadcast, ACLJ.org. We're streaming it there. We'll get to your calls. Folks, we are starting, and David, I guess this is, when's the official real push on the Matching Challenge Camp? It's really next week.
Yeah, we're going to start it really around tax day to send the IRS a message.
Yeah, it's happy tax day, and we're going to ask for your help then. But I even now would like to say we could sure use your help as we're getting ready to launch our Matching Challenge 2 weeks here for April. So ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255, which means any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for it. It really is that simple, and it helps us out that much. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Again, a lot of victories today. We're thrilled with those. We thank the Lord for those, thanking our supporters who enable us to do that. If you want to help us on the getting rid of Obamacare, we got an opportunity now with a new HHS commissioner. Hey, maybe she comes and says, you know what? This isn't working. We got to retool it. If you want to sign with us, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
That's just the way it is. Oh, but don't you believe it.
The problems with Obamacare won't be solved with a new HHS secretary. The fact is, Obamacare is still the wrong prescription for America. Stand with the ACLJ now and sign on to our petition to delay, defund, and defeat Obamacare. Call now 1-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877- 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
A bit of a breaking news here that David French just shared. This is on a different topic. Welcome back to the broadcast. Everyone, we're talking about Kathleen Sebelius resigning. We're talking about these wins we've had for high school students in New York that won in a Bible club, college professor, where we got a jury verdict in favor of the college professor, including his promotion to professor. He's a conservative Christian and was being harassed and treated with discriminatory action. And then we just found out just now that we've crossed, and what's the number? This is on Pastor Saeed Abedini's situation. We've been pushing very hard for clemency since the Iranian government has said that clemency is something that might happen. How many? We just hit 250,000.
We just hit 250,000 signatures for wow. clemency for Pastor Saeed, which is just a huge number. And I think this engagement and these numbers, that's one of the reasons why Pastor Saeed's getting medical attention.
Oh,
right
I do.
Now.
By the way, he is getting medical attention, and that I think is a direct cause because you all are standing with him and passing 200, a quarter of a million people standing with Pastor Saeed right now and calling for clemency is a great thing. Go to BeHeardProject.com. That's BeHeardProject.com. You can sign on there. We're going to go right back to our phones. Richard's calling from California on line four. Hi, Richard. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate all you do.
Thanks.
I just had a question regarding the Obamacare law. Is it in any way unconstitutional the way the Marriage Act that was voted here in California is being taken to the court as unconstitutional?
Well, the challenge to the Obamacare was on a number of grounds. Commerce Clause, whether there was authority to do it in the first place, as well as some of the unconstitutional portions of it. So it was both in total and in piece. And the pieces of it are still being challenged. The Supreme Court said no. It was allowed to go forward, the law being implemented. And now they're debating whether, in fact, we'll have the HHS mandate, the abortion pill mandate. The court heard arguments on that. We'll get a decision by the end of June. It's going to be very close, I suspect. So, I don't think it's fair, David, at this point, to really harp on the fact. I mean, I don't agree with the Supreme Court's decision, but that was their decision. So it's really repealing it.
Right. It's really repealing it. Now, there's some pieces of it that are that the abortion pill mandate, that's in front of the Supreme Court right now, and we're very hopeful that'll be struck down. We don't know yet, but we're hopeful. And then there's that very interesting challenge that says, hey, there's only one way you can set up an exchange, and that's if you have a state exchange.
Yep.
The law doesn't allow for the federal exchanges. And that's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
All right, Marie's calling from Oregon. She's on line six. Hi, Marie. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes, Jay. You know, you're talking about that professor.
Yep.
We have a similar situation with Bill Diff here in Portland. Benson High School was fired as soon as he got unpopular with Planned Parenthood. He has perfect scores from on his evaluations from 2000 on up until they began to say that he doesn't even need to teach, that he needs someone to help him, that he doesn't know how to teach, that he's doing everything wrong. And it's been really terrible what's been going on with the superintendent.
So has the professor, well, you know, I don't think we've heard, David, from what I know, we've not heard from that professor or that teacher.
I'm not aware that we have, but, if they've got a problem, they can.
Yeah, let me do this. I'm going to put you back on hold, Marie. We'll give you our legal helpline, and we'll get your get the number to you right away. So hang on the line here, and we'll get you some help. Let me try to grab one more call really quickly here, if I can. Let's go to Linda from Oregon also. Hi, Linda.
Good afternoon.
Yep.
First of all, I just wanted to say that God is in this all the way with you.
And, well, I appreciate that.
And definitely glory to God for these victories that were.
Yep, absolutely.
That you're behind, and God is evidently, he is more than likely lifting you up.
Yeah, I believe it.
My son-in-law, you had talked to an individual about the Obamacare.
Right.
My son-in-law has five children, And he's been with a corporate job.
Yep.
He was doing extremely well.
What happened to his insurance?
I had told him, hurry and check
yep.
out. And we don't have to worry about it.
And then let me guess what happened. They said his policy didn't qualify for the minimum care, and that policy was out. Linda, it's happening all over the country, and that's why the 7 million number is really a fake number, because people lost policies that they had. We appreciate your call. We're going up against a hard break. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We've got a lot coming up on the broadcast. You want to stay tuned. Also, interesting, folks, we're in that matching challenge. ACLJ.org.
HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, the person who heads up Obamacare, is gone, stepping down after a disastrous rollout of Obamacare, which has become a national nightmare. First, it was the broken website, then bogus enrollment numbers, more people losing health insurance than getting it, and the cost of health care continues to skyrocket. With HHS Secretary Sebelius out, this is the perfect time to intensify efforts to bring an end to Obamacare. The problems with Obamacare won't be solved with a new HHS secretary. The fact is, Obamacare is still the wrong prescription for America. Stand with the ACLJ now and sign on to our petition to delay, defund, and defeat Obamacare. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We announced two victories, one at a college, one at a high school. We got the IRS rolling back its plan changed on rules and regulations regarding political speech. That's a good move, at least a temporary victory there. Kathleen Sebelius has resigned, a good victory there. The FCC got rid of its monitoring program where they were going to put monitors in newsrooms. That's another victory. And those victories happen because you all really have taken the lead and really have spoken out on this issue. Now, on the internet side, remember that internet transfer. Than, what's the latest on that?
After the recess, the committee is going to mark up the .com Act. People will remember that's the bill that we helped Marsha Blackburn and John Shimkus put together that would delay that transfer to the foreign entity. But Jay, I would also say we're still working that because there is legislation that would actually take the power of that transfer back for Congress.
Oh,
we would like to see that bill beefed up and that language added to the bill. So that'll happen right after this Easter recess.
And by the way, coming up in the next segment of the broadcast, Jordan's going to be on with Fox News' Greg Jarrett talking about internet control and Fox Business News' Neil Cavuto about the IRS case. So you're not going to want to miss that. A lot coming up ahead. Let's go right back to the phones. We got calls coming in. 1-800-684-3110. Who do we have next?
Yeah, we're going to start with Sarah calling from Pennsylvania on line 2. Sarah, you're on the air.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, sir. How are you?
Good.
Good. I was just, listening to your program, and I listen to a lot of Christian talk radios, and I hear so many people speaking out against our government and their policies and our leaders. And, biblically, Paul, he calls for us to pray for our leaders.
Absolutely.
The leaders that are in power, that it's the will of God. And the policies that they put in place are clearly, we live in a free society where, the
sure.
people are supposedly choosing, the policies.
I don't think there's anything inconsistent, though, Sarah, with praying for leaders, which I do and I'm sure you do, and disagreeing with policies that are being announced, though, because you can't just be complacent. I mean, after all, you talked about the Apostle Paul. He also said, I'm a citizen of Rome. I have certain rights. You're not going to be able to sneak me outside of a jail. And you had Peter and John saying, you know, you decide who you want to fear, but for us, we fear God more than man. And they're going to be, preaching the gospel. They also said, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with boldness. And I think that's part of the gospel mandate. So you're not saying, I don't think there's anything inconsistent with praying for our leaders, but objecting to policies. Now, it sounds like you may have a different take on that, but that's the way I view it.
Yeah, and your view is very valid, and it's absolutely right in some aspects. However, you're going against the will of God because Paul has said he's put them in place.
So let me ask you this. So in Nazi Germany, Hitler rose to power. And for the Christians in Germany, and many of them objected to his leadership aggressively, were they wrong in trying to take down that government that was exterminating Jews?
Absolutely not.
Okay, well, why? Because if they're supposed to just, that was the duly elected government, what was the, you know, respect those in authority, that's the will of God. Why not just say, well, that's the will of God, and we'll see if that stops one day.
When the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, you know.
Yeah, well, they left. Yeah, they went up to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go. And if you don't, we're gonna have plagues on your household, including the slaying of the firstborn," which they did. God did. So, I mean, it can't just be we and David and I and Than. We've all, and I'm not trying to be hard. It's just I think there's a difference between praying for those in authority and objecting to policies and positions that those in authority are trying to put forward on its people.
And Sarah, one of the things that's important to remember in this country is the ultimate authority is the Constitution of the United States. That is the authority that is above any person in our government. And in fact, the President of the United States puts his hand on a Bible at the beginning of his term and swears to uphold and defend the Constitution. And so one of the things that we do is we remind our leaders of the actual authority, this actual civil authority in our country is the Constitution. And so when they violate the Constitution, they are violating the civil authority in this country. And it's important for us to remind them of that. And in fact, our system is set up to allow us to go to court, for example, to protect the Constitution. That's part of the system of this country.
Yeah, and you know, Sarah, also, when the president's done something that we've appreciated, like when he spoke out and has spoken out on behalf of Saeed Abedini, we thanked him. We publicly on air not only said we could pray for the president, which we say anyways, but we thanked him for the policy. So when they agree, we agree. When we disagree, we disagree. Hope that helps on the question, Sarah. Thanks for calling in. Than, who do we have next?
Right back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to Susan from California on line 5. Susan, you're on the air.
Hi, Susan.
Hi. I really appreciate you guys. And I just wanted to say that I am somebody with a long-term chronic illness.
Yep.
I'm in California. I appreciate your criticisms of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. Yep. But I also wanted to present my position, which is that after losing a job unjustly through an employer, turns out that was embezzling, I had no insurance and I couldn't afford any.
Yep.
And now with the Obamacare, California pre-positioned itself. And last year I was covered in the local policy that became a Medicaid thing and through Obamacare. And now I'm getting the care that I need.
Now, this was an extension of Medicaid?
Yeah. This year it's the states, I guess.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I understood that. My initial proposal, as if it wouldn't matter, and I'm not a medical doctor, obviously, but, I mean, my initial thought was, from a policy standpoint, that expanding the reach of existing laws so that someone with a pre-existing condition could get qualified, that's part of the insurance pool risk, was something we should have had worked out. But that's an expansion of Medicare or Medicaid. And that's, so I'm glad you got coverage. But I don't think we had to redo the entire healthcare system for you to be able. I'm glad you got the coverage. I just don't think we had to go through setting up an entire government bureaucracy to get there. And Than, that at the end of the day is what I'm concerned about. I am glad, Susan, you got the coverage, but I don't think it took a federal bureaucracy rewrite to do that.
Yeah, coverage for people like Susan is something that basically all of these plans talked about. I mean, right. Ben Carson wanted to do it through high-risk pools, whether that's at the federal level or the state-based level. But at the end of the day, Jay, in order to cover people like Susan, we created a trillion-dollar entitlement program, and we got, even if we take the administration's numbers at their face value, if we got 7 million enrollees, that's $14,000 per person covered. We would have been better off just cutting each and every one of them a check for it. So I think you're right. We could have done what Susan needed without having to rewrite the entire healthcare industry.
Yeah, but nevertheless, that's where we are. Let's take one more call here. Christina's calling on line 4. Hi, Christina.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I'm very confused. You know, we get our insurance privately. We're farmers.
Right.
And I've heard that through, like, my personal insurance that we are also paying for now birth control,
yeah,
and possibly abortions. Is this true?
Yeah, it is. David, go ahead.
Yeah, one of the big problems with the new Obamacare exchanges and the individual insurance market,
and now, it was called minimum coverage requirements.
Yes, it's very difficult to determine what your insurance covers. In fact, some of the exchanges, you literally could not go on the state exchange and discover what policies covered abortion and which policies did not. And so that is one of the failings of Obamacare. They were supposed to offer insurance coverage that did not cover abortions that would be available. But in this circumstance, it's become impossible for people to discover that information. And so there are a lot of people that are inadvertently funding abortion.
Yeah, and go ahead, Than. You were saying there was legislation that was going to fix that, but Sebelius opposed it.
Yeah, we worked with Congressman Chris Smith on this. He said, listen, if you're going to make abortion part of Obamacare, at least tell the American people which plans cover abortion and which don't, and whether or not they're going to be paying for it. The House of Representatives passed that legislation. The Obama administration and Secretary Sebelius opposed it, and therefore it died in the Senate. So they don't even want to let you know if you're paying for abortion or not.
All right, let's try to get one more call here. Jason's calling from New York on line 1. Hi, Jason.
Hi. I do want to say that the healthcare laws, what I've seen so far, I work in the healthcare industry, has affected me negatively in a manner of my business that I do.
In what way?
Well, you know, patients that I deal with, they don't have coverage.
Yeah, okay, so coverage issues. Yep, got it.
Or their medical plans have changed. So that's pretty much.
I got that. Sure.
However, I will say that I do agree with the mandate in the law that everybody has to have health insurance and pay in. And the 7 million number, I understand that's not counting the number that has lost their health insurance.
Yeah, right.
But I do say that over time, as the penalty gets larger for not having health insurance, more people will pay in, and you need a system where everybody pays.
Well, I mean, there's a debate on that from a policy standpoint about whether you could do it. There's also a constitutional debate of whether you could have, as the cost of citizenship, a requirement that you buy something that you may not want to buy. But I understand the argument. I don't think we know the full effect of where Obamacare goes, but we're going to find out as the moments continue. We do know this. Kathleen Sebelius, no longer the head of HHS. Coming up, a discussion with Greg Jarrett from Fox News and Jordan on the internet issue and the internet transfer. And also Jordan's going to be talking with Neil Cavuto on the issue of the IRS. You want to stay tuned for that. Again, we got our matching challenge going at ACLJ.org. And also, if you want to go ahead, sign that petition on the IRS, on the HHS mandate and getting rid of the whole Obamacare bill, now's the time to do it. It's easy to do. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. But we could really use your help at ACLJ.org in our matching challenge campaign. Encourage you to go there. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment. This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent, ohs.edu/law.
HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, the person who heads up Obamacare, is gone, stepping down after a disastrous rollout of Obamacare, which has become a national nightmare. First, it was the broken website, then bogus enrollment numbers, more people losing health insurance than getting it, and the cost of health care continues to skyrocket. With HHS Secretary Sebelius out, this is the perfect time to intensify efforts to bring an end to Obamacare. The problems with Obamacare won't be solved with a new HHS secretary. The fact is, Obamacare is still the wrong prescription for America. Stand with the ACLJ now and sign on to our petition to delay, defund, and defeat Obamacare. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, folks, in this segment of the broadcast, I'm going to play for you a couple of interviews that Jordan did yesterday. First of all, he was on with Neil Cavuto on the Fox Business Channel talking about this IRS issue, talking about the fact that the House Oversight Committee has now held Lois Lerner in contempt, what the next stages of that process are, and what it means for our civil litigation as well on behalf of 41 Tea Party and conservative clients across the country. He was also on the Fox Channel talking about the issue we discussed last week, the transfer of control of the core of the internet, the ICANN system, they have oversight over the DNS system, to a foreign entity. As a reminder, the Department of Commerce has announced that that transition will happen next year. So Jordan had the opportunity to go on and talk about that transfer and what needs to happen to stop it. I wanted to give you a chance to hear both of those interviews. Let's go ahead and roll them now.
But that is not if Cynthia Lummis has anything to say about it. The Wisconsin Republican Congresswoman, among those who voted to hold Ms. Lerner in contempt, the second congressional committee to do so in as many days. Joining the congressman, we have American Center for Law and Justice attorney Jordan Sekulow. He represents over 40 groups suing the IRS. Congresswoman, if I could begin with you, that is my fear, that Ms. Lerner will essentially say, I'm working with the IRS in this investigation. You guys in Congress just take a chill pill. I'm not saying a thing.
She did already conduct an interview with the Justice Department, and that in the D.C. district means she waived her right to stay silent, and we expect that we should have an opportunity to hear from her eventually.
What do you think of that? That she's spoken to them, and that so the cat's out of the bag. The fifth thing doesn't hold anymore.
Yeah, I mean, for now it looks like it's going to be two ways. One is either trying to move forward with the actual civil contempt to subpoena the information from Lois Lerner.
Because the criminal thing is going nowhere.
Right. I mean, that's up to the Department of Justice. We know with
there's no way.
No, and it's not going to happen. And so, and because there's been no even progress yet with the actual criminal investigation of the matter. Now they're not going to go after necessarily some person, but she is different than Eric Holder, who's been held in contempt, and he's been in all these spats. She's got to defend this herself. So even though the committee today, and as the congressman said, they voted to hold her in contempt, they could still come back and make a deal and have her testify. So this doesn't stop those discussions, but it does move the ball forward, and it does help our case, like the civil case, because it puts a lot of pressure on Lois Lerner.
You know, Congressman, that was that issue I was raising earlier with Jordan during the break, that why did it take so long to get this committee and a committee yesterday to take this action almost a year after Ms. Lerner pled the fifth. Were you working on a deal? Did a deal fall through? What?
We were working on it. We've interviewed multiple witnesses. We've now reviewed her emails. We know that after she said, I broke no laws, I've done nothing wrong, I violated no rules and regulations, that indeed she had. Because her own emails bear witness to the falsehoods she told the committee, which is why it was time to address the issue of contempt. And
hold her in contempt. Congresswoman, that you were working on a deal, an immunity deal for Ms. Lerner, for the people around her, a bunch of immunity deals, that fell through, what?
You know, I said that we were interviewing people and reviewing her emails. Whether or not there was a discussion about her receiving immunity, even I don't know.
I see. Well, Jordan, bottom line is, and I'm no lawyer, but I can kind of see where this is going. She's not going to talk unless compelled to talk.
In some way or another.
So, with all due respect, the congresswoman is trying to move the ball forward. I don't know if this is going to do it, especially when the guy at the Justice Department is I would imagine, going to limit it. So then what? What do you do?
Well, I applaud Congress for today's move. And the reason why she was held in contempt, there are Americans out there going, wait, if you take the Fifth, am I going to be held in contempt? That's not the case. This was unique because she made not just one, but multiple statements about how she wasn't guilty, she was innocent, she hadn't told the committee anything wrong or misleading. I think yesterday's report showed there were at least statements that were misleading. And that's why she ultimately then took the Fifth. That's what this was about today. She made statements about her guilt or innocence and then said, now I'm not going to answer
your
questions.
Well, you represent 40-some-odd people who were targeted. Have any of them been sought out by the investigators? So presumably the IRS is looking into this.
There's a handful the FBI has tried to schedule interviews with. Now, we then submitted this question back, Neil, which is, we heard that you don't want to have there's no criminal investigation. So why do we have our clients sit down with the FBI? We've got an active civil case.
None of them have talked to him.
No response yet on that question. No response on, is there an actual criminal investigation?
Okay, well, that then, Congresswoman, puts it back in your lap that methinks this investigation is not a real investigation. And despite your best efforts to compel Ms. Lerner to testify, she's not going to testify. Guys, thank you both very, very much.
Thanks, Tim.
Two hearings on Capitol Hill today focusing on the White House decision to give up direct U.S. oversight of the Internet. The Obama administration wants to transfer control to an international body controlled by foreign governments, but the move is facing widespread resistance. Jordan Sekulow is executive director of the American Center for Law and Justice. Good to see you, Jordan.
Thanks, Ray.
The U.S. programmers are the ones who invented the Internet. They advanced it. They nurtured it. They protected it. How does it make sense to cede control? I mean, Steve Jobs, if he were alive, wouldn't cede control of Apple and you know, Microsoft, same thing with Bill Gates. He's not going to give it up.
No, and we gave it to the world to use. You know, this is actually a rare time when I would say that the government has done a great job of managing something that maybe you don't want necessarily being run by businesses or potential foreign businesses that have government control or foreign governments like UN agencies. Because what we did was we set it up when we went public with it. And then basically that's it. It's a hands-off approach unless there's a problem. Imagine, though, the difference that would be if you got China and Russia on the commission overseeing this.
Well,
when they're not going to say.
Your point is well taken. The leading United Nations agency to take control of this thing, and you know how the UN does, is the International Telecommunications Union, the ITU. Guess who controls them largely? China and Russia.
Yeah. And you put them together with blocks of countries that are no friends of ours and no friends of basic freedoms. You know, the idea of, if you talk about the Arab Spring, if you want to look at what happened in Ukraine, the way that these people have organized is because of the Internet. They were not able under these dictatorships, whether we like it or not, they weren't able to get together. Now, you can find other people and challenge governments. And of course, that's what Russia and China don't like. The ITU is run by dictators, authoritarian regimes,
and
some of the Islamic blocs. So you put them all together, they're not about freedom.
Right.
And they're not about reactive problem solving, which is how the U.S. has handled this. They're about proactive stopping people. They actually want to get rid, Greg, their first move is to get rid of any anonymity on the Internet. That is a major part. And they still go after these bloggers.
You know, President Obama, the Obama administration say it's dangerous for any one government to have control over the Internet. Well, who's a better guarantor of future freedom than the United States? What's driving President Obama to do this? Is it guilt over the NSA fallout?
You know, the first time this came up, it was when the head of ICANN, the group right now that the government contracts to oversee, this is the Department of Commerce, was in Brazil right after the Edward Snowden information. And remember, the president of Brazil, Dilma Rousseff, canceled a state dinner with President Obama. So it's Russia, it's China. But because of Snowden, it's now impacted, I think, how the president is treated around the world. And he wants to still be that president who spoke in Berlin before he got elected the first time, and not the president who's having to deal with making tough decisions and national security decisions.
But as we close the broadcast today, folks, Secretary Sebelius may be out, but all of the problems with Obamacare still exist. Everything from the individual mandate to the HHS mandate. Folks, we are going to continue that fight, and we ask that you stay strong in your resolve to fight with us. Call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org. Again, the number 877-989-2255.
The problems with Obamacare won't be solved with a new HHS secretary. The fact is, Obamacare is still the wrong prescription for America. Stand with the ACLJ now and sign on to our petition to delay, defund, and defeat Obamacare. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.